What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I know we've switched some stuff up today, but we are going to do baseball nuggets in this segment. I do have one more football thing to tell you, but don't let that make you think we're not going to do baseball nuggets, because we are. Deron Bland did, in fact, have foot surgery yesterday. And per the team website, Corey, I know you'll be glad to hear this, it was successful foot surgery.
No way.
Because with the exception of, what is it, Alex Smith, I feel like, or maybe Geno Smith, too. I feel like most surgeries, they're like, that was successful. And in those cases, they're like, holy crap, what happened?
Yeah. This is good news to hear. And honestly, like, nobody wants to get that news.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that at all. It's just not a surprise anymore whenever they get out of surgery. But I guess that's the thing, Kevin. You know what? I'm done making fun of that from now on.
Okay.
Because think about this. Your mom ever gone into surgery?
Yes.
You ever not been there whenever she was at surgery?
No.
Okay, that's different.
Oh, yes.
And what
Because I was in Germany.
And what were you waiting for? Somebody to text you to say everything went fine.
Exactly.
So that's where I stand on this now.
By the way,
my mom had surgery. She's had a couple of complications since. She's good now.
It's scary.
Yeah, man.
And it was especially scary because I got multiple calls at like 2 in the morning in Germany. And I was like, oh, no, did somebody die? But like the time change there, it was like 7 o'clock at night or something. All right. Right now, let's fire up some baseball nuggets. And we start with, do you want to know other news across MLB, or do you want me to talk about how the rest of MLB doesn't seem to think that the Rangers front office is very good?
Can we start with the first one?
Okay, good decision. All right, the Red Sox are supposedly hot in the pursuit of Bo Bichette. I almost said bursuit because it's Bo Bichette, but there are other folks who believe the Philadelphia Phillies are the favorite to Bo leave and get Bo Bichette. So keep an eye on that, since Bichette and the Phillies, see, he supports that, met via video call earlier this week. So could be down to the Phillies, could be down to the Phillies and the Red Sox to pick up Bo Bichette. I've heard that this has been made all the more difficult because apparently Bo Bichette initially was wanting a contract in excess of $300 million.
Oh.
And teams were like, oh, well, yeah.
Did you see what PETA has said
about Bo Bichette?
Mm-hmm.
No.
And this isn't the PETA that you're thinking of.
It stands for pain in the ass.
This is the animal PETA.
Okay.
Is it PETA? No, probably PETA.
I will say, please tell us your
story.
They
tweeted out, free steak comes with consequences, Bo Bichette. Clogged arteries don't just hurt your heart. They affect other organs, too. So no to the meat bribe. And then they offered him
a lifetime
supply of Viagra.
I did see this. That's
was
right.
Was this in the show?
No. I did see this.
And they said,
hey,
we'll give you some.
Okay.
I think they should have gone with Blue Chew on this, but
sure,
they did offer a lifetime supply of that because they said they didn't want him to have clogged arteries from steak.
Okay, that makes more sense because honestly, I didn't read the story because I was like, what? Why is PETA doing that? But all right, that makes sense.
That's how PETA go.
Now, in other baseball potential news, because it's not necessarily news as much as it is potential news. Supposedly, the reports say that Kyle Tucker is currently deciding between the Mets and the Blue Jays. Part of the wrinkle there is it's believed that the Mets offered him a shorter-term contract, but they offered him $50 million per year.
Ooh.
So I do always kind of wonder about that, especially since Kyle Tucker is about to turn 29. I wonder if, like, let's say the Blue Jays are like, we'll give you 7 for 280. I don't know, whatever, $40 million per year. And then the Mets are like, well, we'll give you three for 150. And you're like, okay, well, that's more than $100 million less, but it's $10 million a year more, and I would be a free agent again at 32. So that's kind of the thought process, putting aside, like, which team you think is a better fit.
And most likely, not one player has thought about that.
Maybe.
But his agent is looking at trajectory,
yes,
how to maximize the asset that he has. And he's helped him figure that out. And he's like, this is the best deal for everybody involved.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So keep an eye out on that, because you can't help but wonder if there will be a renewed push, much like when the Dodgers made their deal with Shohei Ohtani. You have seen more and more, including in the Bregman deal, people loading up contracts with deferred money. I wonder if in this scenario, maybe you'd see more of a push from other teams to try to load up the average per year for a shorter deal. Then if you're a younger player, I wonder if you're like, well, Kyle Tucker got $50 million per year. And then the team's like, well, no, but that was because of, and the agent's like, don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I want more money than that. So this could change the dynamic of...
But then at some point, won't the average per year, then adding an extra year will become the way to win?
I mean...
That whole thing is like, yes, we've done that. Let's add that extra or 2 years. Contracts have just... They're insane.
Yes.
We're at an insane point where Alex Bregman's got gigantic numbers.
Well, I mean, and take a look at another sticking point, Cody Bellinger. So supposedly the Yankees offered him 5 years between $155 and $160 million with no deferrals. And Bellinger is looking for, per Bob Nightingale, at least a 7-year deal. So this is the Yankees we're talking about. Them and the Dodgers historically spend. And they're like, well, you're at least 2 years short.
How old is Cody Bellinger? He is 30. He would be 37 at that point.
Correct.
How do you agree to something like that, knowing that, like, that's way past the prime of a player?
And that's the thing, is how many times over the years have you seen a team say, well, we're going to have to eat crap on these last 2 years, but I think he can help us win now.
Kevin, I need to inform you of something.
Oh.
These new laptops that we got are also touchscreen, and that has now screwed up everything for me because I did not expect that to happen. So I got a new game to play here for a little while.
Okay, well, can that wait?
Touchscreen computer game.
Oh, my gosh. Can that wait for a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right. How good do you think the Rangers front office is?
How good do I think Ross Fenstermaker and Chris Young are, is basically what we're looking at
here. I think
here.
The scouting department falls in that as well.
I would say 22nd.
Ooh, so not great.
Mostly because of the scouting department.
Okay. What if I took the scouting department out?
Third.
Wow. Man, so you think the scouting department is just the
ownership involved in that?
No.
Then third.
Okay. Alec?
Give me ownership, and we're back down to 15th.
Do you think, this has been a roller
coaster. He gave us a year,
though.
He gave us a great year.
How do you think the front office and scouting department of the Rangers is viewed across the rest of Major League Baseball?
I would say they are right at, I'm going to say they're inside the better half, but barely, at 14.
Okay. Now, these are going to work a little different. It's not a specific ranking just like that, but here's what I want you to consider. I've got a whole bunch of categories for you. The top vote getters in each category usually range from like 5 to 17.
Okay.
Okay? Best farm system, best use of the draft, best use of the international market, best at acquiring prospects in trades, most underrated farm system, best at hoarding prospects, best at developing pitchers, best at developing hitters, best at finding and developing sleepers. You know how many the Rangers were listed in those polls in the top 5 to 7?
Zero. That's just my own personal feeling, but I feel like I know the truth on that.
And see, and they're not in the top 10 in any of these. The only one the Rangers even appear in the category of also received votes. So not even enough to qualify at like 4 to 8%. The only one they even qualify in an honorable mention is who does the best on the international market. That is led by the Brewers, Dodgers, Padres, Guardians, and Yankees. Keep in mind the Yankees were fifth at 4.7%. That means the one category in which the Rangers front office and scouting department got the best score was still less than 4.7%.
It's the most ridiculous claim in the history of baseball.
John Smoltz, I don't think it is.
Kevin, I do need to ask about this. Regarding that, that's all regarding prospects, right?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything that said free agents and scouting.
I can't imagine we'd do well in free agents.
Well, they built that team off a lot of free agents that won the championship.
That's true. How many years ago was that now, though?
Two.
No, when they signed those free agents, though, that's coming up on like 4 to 5 years ago.
Okay. But that they did know who they... Now, whether or not they've had the money to go get the other ones they want,
sure.
Different story. But I think that they really did pay a lot of attention to the major league team that year and said, we'll look at the farm system later. And still haven't done that.
Yeah.
Like still haven't quite gone completely in. And then they go get a guy in the draft and they're like, put him on the team as soon as possible, Wyatt Langford. They could have made their farm system look really good for a while. But
and this is where I get concerned, right? Because you just mentioned it. The ownership's not willing to spend money right now. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you've seen the payroll, whether the number is 176 or 190 million, which is what I actually think it's closer to. That's below the 200 million that Chris Young said he thought they would be at. It's also about $70 million below what a top five market spends in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
That's $70 million. I'm not saying it would play out like this or these were your needs, but you realize by those standards, maybe you could go pick up Bichette and Bellinger right now and add those to your team. And I feel like we would have had a really different lineup discussion yesterday.
But, oh, for sure.
Yeah, but you're not willing to spend any money, right? You were coming off a 500 season, which was the second non-losing season in the last 9 years. You've only been above 500 one time in the last 9 years. And when you look at how do teams who don't spend money get better? Through the farm system and their prospects and everything like that. And we just went down the list. And this is other executives in Major League Baseball. So you got to think, like, they're probably pretty damn plugged in.
What have we always said, too, regarding the farm, our farm system? Go pluck every scout you can from the Dodgers and Braves.
Yeah.
Go get those guys.
Yes.
Whoever's running their departments, find them.
It is the number one thing in sports that I do not think people properly take advantage of is spending where there's no cap, right? Because, and I don't mean I'm not lying. I mean, when people made fun of A&M for the Jimbo Fisher thing, and I get it. I was like, that's fine. This is oil people money, not my money. Jerry Jones says, do you have any idea the size of the check I would write? But we're constrained by the salary cap and everything like that. You could put together the greatest collection of coaching talent that has ever been seen in the NFL. All you got to do is go up to every single one of those people and be like, I will give you $20 to $25 million per year. Yes. Yesterday it was $15 million. Now I've upped the price just to make sure there's no question about it. Then you could have Flores. You could have Flores coaching your DBs. Then you could have Tomlin. You could load up or Tomlin coaching your DBs. You could load it up, but you don't do that. Same thing. There is a pseudo cap in Major League Baseball, and obviously that's what all of the fight for the next collective bargaining agreement
is.
Did
you hear? I know. We're owned by 100,000. We're screwed.
It is not good, but that's what the whole collective bargaining agreement is going to be about. Fine. Go spend $10 million and get the best scouts from every organization. Because you might be loyal to the Dodgers. You might be loyal to the Rays until I say, I will pay you 15 times your salary.
From the Flagnicity on the Twitch, none of the teams mentioned for farming were under 500 teams either, I bet.
That
I don't have all of them in front of me, I'm willing to bet that you're correct.
Here's a great example. With the exception of which team? The Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
With the Pirates.
Yeah, but they're on their way.
Yeah, we just told you yesterday. Yeah. They're the greatest prospect in the history of baseball.
And the pitcher.
But the best farm system.
Skeens.
Here's the top four. Man.
Stupid.
Here's the top four farm systems: the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Tigers, and the Brewers. Now, I realize the Tigers dealt with a historic collapse, but still, in the playoffs, we've just mentioned the Pirates. But to that person's point, those teams are already good with more talent on the way, whereas the Rangers, and this will come back around at noon o'clock. We'll talk more about this. But for the Rangers, if you're not spending money and you are not viewed as having a favorable group of front office people and scouts.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Scouts and farm system. What's the road to improvement? I can't help but continue to wonder.
There is no road. And where we're going, we actually do need roads. So.
Ah, in your face, Christopher Lloyd. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus the Scooter Braun story that you've been waiting for next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I can now tell you that on Friday, we're going to be live from the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 777 Waters Creek Boulevard in Allen at the Marriott, doing the things. Corey, people have been asking to see at the card show for like 8 million years.
I think this is actually further away from my house than our office now.
But you still live in Plano, so it should be okay.
It's very close. Yeah, and close to my men's tea clinic. So that's another positive thing that goes on.
So you might come into the card show ready to go.
I'll leave the card show and then be ready to go.
I meant like energy-wise, not like nighttime-wise.
Right, yeah, well.
By the way, how fun are those commercials, whether it's for men's tea or whatever else, where you have to dance around? What you're really saying?
Should I just start saying it?
Yeah. Like, if you want a hump, Men's Tea Clinic is the place to go.
Well, it's Wednesday, so that's what Kevin's referring to.
Exactly.
That's
right. Yeah. Hump day.
Hump day.
Right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it.
I
had to
have a transition, Alec, sorry.
It is time, I guess, for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Apple.
Yeah. Apple, I like it. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line.
Man, he might need to call the Frankels for that apple bite. That sounded painful.
That really did. That was a gargantuan bite. What a jaw.
A large apple.
Yeah, to answer the question of the day, plus the long tease will be paid off.
Mm.
The Scooter Braun story that just irritates me to no end. We will get to that here in just a little bit. We're going to go to the national day calendar, but the question of the day is not going to be based on a national day today. I just want to. I feel like I have to pay it off. I have to run through some of these days. I actually do have a little this day in history for you.
Oh, neat.
This day in history, the first ever C-section was performed.
Oh, man.
How long ago do you think the first ever was performed? Because it'll probably blow your mind.
80 years ago.
1981, it was me.
Because you're C.
I was the first one born in my family. Mm-hmm. I was a C-section baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, Kevin, I did always think that it was a C-section because it was the Corey section that needed to come out of my mom's body.
That is my favorite thing ever.
I really,
yes.
Much like I always thought it was the Windex factor.
Oh my god!
The windshield factor, where you spray Windex on. It's how cold your windshield is when you're driving 70 miles an hour is what I always thought the windshield factor was when it's wind chill. And then the heat Windex, which is how fast the Windex dissolves when you spray it on your windshield whenever it's hot outside. The heat Windex.
This is amazing. It just made my day. But no, try 1794.
That makes sense.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Dr. Jesse Bennett in 1794 on this day, January 14th, a long time ago.
Did the mom make it, that one? Or was this just the first time he was like, let's cut the baby out?
Yeah, because that does seem like an intense. It's, look, man, when Jess got the C-section, I knew we were going to be okay when they fired up some songs. Mm-hmm. He's like, what kind of music do you want to listen to? The first one, the doctor performing the C-section. He's like, nope, don't like that one. Next one.
Oh.
And I thought, man, he is so confident in this procedure.
But you got to think to yourself, you know, we talk about all the roads that have been made, Kevin.
Sure. Mm. Like, how did they do that?
Think about how all the science has happened.
Man, there's
had to be risk and some potential things that had gone wrong for them to find out exactly what was in our body.
Yeah, like when we go to knife and they're like, who was the first person who's like, hey, let's just leave that steak out for a couple of years and see what happens. It's the same thing here.
let it grow some bacteria on the outside.
Like, you know how the baby comes out of the woman. Who's the person who's like, all right, what if we skip that part and just cut it open? Like, wouldn't you think that guy was a lunatic?
Yeah, honestly, I would. But this does mark the first successful one. So this is the first time that they documented it actually working.
Yeah.
So
she lived.
Yes, she lived. Good. And it marked a huge moment in medical history. For this one, I need you to put your maturity hat on. And think in a Christian manner.
Was that? I do have the Jesus podcast.
Exactly.
Today.
So you should know this without laughing.
Oh.
Today is Feast of the Ass Day.
You know, I feel like the Feast of the Ass has become a lot more celebrated in the last 10 years or so. I don't know. I can ask that for the podcast, mm-hmm. but that's just the sense I get.
And just remember, this was predominantly observed in France as a variant of the Feast of the Fools, which is commemorated by a biblical donkey-related narrative, particularly the donkey that carried the Holy Family into Egypt.
Yeah.
Following Jesus' birth.
There's a lot of people in the Christian world who have no problem saying ass because they're like, it's in the Bible.
Yeah. So that is a real celebration that is happening across the world today. It is International Kite Day. It is National Dress Up Your Pet Day. It is National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day.
Pause. God. What percentage of people do you think, like, regularly dress up their pets? And is there any pet out there that likes it?
There are pets that do enjoy it. I've seen it.
Really?
Mine hate it. My two dogs hate it.
Yeah.
They will freeze in place. They just won't move. They will protest. But I have friends that their dogs, I guess, start them off at a young age, put a sweater on them or something, and they kind of just get used to it. Oh, some of them seem to enjoy it.
I think these are usually the dogs that are on some sort of like upper or whatever, you know, for positivity and mental health. But yeah, he's right. Give them enough treats, they'll do anything. But so far, every Halloween, Adrian has tried to either dress up Landry or Kodak. And neither one of them have seemed to really love it that much. Kodak, a little more positive than Landry. Landry just kind of was like Eeyore, if you will, an ass of a donkey, if you
Look,
will.
I still think that Eeyore gets a bad rap because there's like, oh, he's always in such a bad mood. Yeah, because there's a nail in his anus.
Mm-hmm.
That would piss me off, too.
Everybody would be upset about
that.
Yeah,
just think about it. Alex, like, living his life. He's doing fine. And then someone nails that to you, you're probably going to not be in a good mood.
You don't want to get nailed there.
All right.
Well, that's a safe assumption.
I guess I didn't encourage that.
That's a safe assumption. But, Corey, you know what they say about assuming. Don't do it. Anyways, but what we're going to focus the
Make
question.
Make a feast out of you and me.
See? That's right. Make a donkey out of you and me. What we're going to focus on for the question of the day is actually from these airwaves. I was listening to the Fan After Dark
the other night,
as one should, because Fred and Blake are the most unpredictable duo I've ever heard, ever. Mm. So they got on the topic, and I would run the audio, but you know how their tangents go. They usually go for about half an hour. So
yes.
There was no good way to cut this up, but Blake proposed the idea of the, you know, the fabled cookout and who would be invited to it at the Fan. So I'm going to kind of spin that. And I'm going to say, you have to put on the best party in human history. Your social life depends on it. And you are inviting two people from the Fan to make that party the best party that has ever happened. Who are those two people? 877-881-1053.
What's the question?
Thanks, Corey.
My initial thought is Lucius and Choppy.
To have the best time?
Yeah. Yes.
To have the best party ever. You're putting on a party. You have to invite two people from the fan to make sure it's the best party ever.
Well, I need Broadus there to cook.
Smart.
Ooh,
Broadus
that's
is
true.
Doing, I need the crawfish boil. Now, that's not going to be all the time, but I do need Broadus for that. Don't talk to Broadus during this, though. he'll likely shut you down for whatever. He's like, I'm busy. Do you not see me over there with his towel wiping my forehead occasionally? This is busy, man. I'm working. All right. So just know that he's not going to be part of the vibe,
yeah. But
you're going to go outside and smell it, and you're going to see the man standing there with his paddle, and you're going to be like, whatever, he's got this huge pad. It's like an oar, so he can get the thing out of the water. That's for sure.
What about Fred and Jake Rietma? Do you want to have them?
I don't know if that's going to end the way that you
together.
There was a time Dawson, during his drinking life, was a riot. Like that dude, there was a time.
Oh, not anymore.
He's subdued a little bit more now. But I'm going to go with Broadus for the food part. And then I know Lucius can DJ.
That's a great point. I didn't even think. I was considering Lucius because he's Lucius. I wasn't even thinking about the DJ part. Mm-hmm. That makes a ton of sense.
But then, you know, some of the great DJs, they'll play music. Some of them will play music and talk. And I think that he can do a little bit of both. So I got to steal from G-Bag in order to make this party really roll.
Okay.
I think because I'm there, too. All right, now consider that. I'm going to walk around and socialize and do my thing. So that's already fulfilled.
Okay.
But I don't know, have you ever been at a party with Kevin? He'll hold court. He was like, all right, people want to come sit next to Kevin and just talk about stuff. And Kevin could talk about anything. He can talk about, you know, UFC. You can talk about Feast of the Ass Day. You can talk about all sorts of, you got a lot. You're like Ben Stein.
Oh, neat.
You know a little bit about everything.
Hey, I made a Ben Stein. I made a Ferris Bueller's reference yesterday.
Okay.
9 times.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Times.
Maybe not, Kevin. You'll be at my party, I promise.
Let's see.
Rudy.
There's a lot of great answers coming in. 877-881-1053. The two fan hosts you would invite to put on the best party ever. But let's see. I see Brian Broadus and Corey Majors from the 425.
Thank you.
From the 443, Bobby will feed drinks all day and Choppy will be the drunk comedian. I like that.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, want a drinking party, that's good.
Is Bobby still going as hard at a party?
Yes.
Drinking? Okay.
Probably.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard
says
the story. Yes.
Yes. Oh. Okay.
Aiden got his first experience of that the other week. Yes.
And
you guys heard on these airwaves the story about my birthday back in June.
Yes.
And that was his doing. Bobby and Choppy is a popular answer. Zach and Corey from the 214. Lucius and Broadus from the 682. Drunk Bobby and then Fred from the 214. That's a dangerous combination right there. I think my picks, honestly, Broadus. And then I would put Blake in there. Because a lot of people don't realize, Blake can make a conversation with any human being on the planet.
Oh.
He can approach anybody. He has the most confidence in himself of any person that I've ever met. He will make intriguing conversation with anybody at that party. You just point at them, he says, all right, and he disappears for half an hour.
Yeah, over at Sean's party, Blake was very, very social. Absolutely,
okay.
Very social.
And then a guy who is a little bit too social right now for my liking, Scooter Braun.
Oh.
Obviously, the Hollywood mega agent and deal maker of the past is now known more as the 44-year-old boyfriend of Sydney Sweeney. Apparently,
how old is she, like 30-ish?
Something like that, yeah. And apparently, he's struggling with the pressures of dating a superstar. Over the weekend, the Daily Sun put together a report that Braun is struggling with the fact that athletes keep sliding in her DMs and shooting their shot with her. The article says A-list fame comes with complications, particularly for Scooter, 44 years of age, who sources say is struggling to adjust and gets nervous when the 28-year-old Sydney takes quote-unquote me time. Premier League footballers have also been, quote, constantly sliding into her DMs, with some tracking down her private number. Scooter finds the persistence incredibly disrespectful, even though Sydney blocks and ignores them, according to insiders. To which I say, what the hell did you expect? You are dating one of the biggest faces on planet Earth when it comes to modeling, when it comes to acting, when it comes to just the female gender. A lot of people talk about Sydney Sweeney. That is the first name that comes up. If you can't handle a 10, don't date a 10. It is that simple. I mean, I've even dealt with it, with pro athletes sliding in DMs of people that I'm interested in. And they're nowhere near the level of Sydney Sweeney's fame. You have to know that's going to happen. And the fact that he gets nervous, I think it's crazy that a news outlet got people to say, yeah, he gets uncomfortable when she disappears and doesn't answer texts and stuff. I would hate if my thoughts and opinions on dating like that and my personal relationship were out there to the public. I think that's crazy, for one. But two, come on, dude, you know what comes with the territory?
Plus, if I had like $500 million to $1 billion, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
I'll go find somebody
Who's
else.
Who's next?
Yeah,
Goldberg
exactly.
style.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some gridiron gravy, where everybody watches the NFL and is this the toughest player in the league? Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, powered by Men's Tea Clinic. It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and sip it.
And let's start with retirement news. Adam Thielen announced his retirement. The question is, why today? Why not 3 years ago?
Oh, he made an important catch in the game against the Texans the other night.
Did they win?
No. Oh. I mean, but it was an important catch.
Will you be sad and, with no more Adam Thielen around?
But I know Sean and RJ loved him as a guest when he was at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I thought he was going to retire that year. That was Arizona, and I thought he was really going to retire. I thought, oh, this is it for Adam Thielen here. He's already starting to talk about potentially joining them on the show, like being a guest and being a potential host. He had a great personality, but it was interesting hearing them talk about, man, once Adam Thielen arrived, Aaron Rodgers felt so much more comfortable because he knew he could rely on these guys rather than these young receivers that he had to figure out. And I was like, that's Aaron Rodgers, dude. It's always somebody else's fault. Always.
Now, speaking of Aaron Rodgers,
the man
who is his offensive coordinator this season, Arthur Smith, has been requested to interview to be the new head coach of the Cardinals.
So he's only going to be head coach for bird teams, huh? He was the head coach for the Falcons already.
Oh.
And that didn't work out so well.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he did lead the offensive juggernaut that was the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
Dude, now that I think about this.
They were 25th in yards this season. So, you know, they were better in points, actually quite a bit better in points.
His offense, Kevin, Tennessee, 2019, 10th in points.
Okay.
Tennessee, 2020, 4th in points. From there, 26, 15, 26, 16, 25th. Like, they're not good.
And that's what I never quite understand, because I would always think, maybe I'm just naive about this, and maybe some of the better ones have already been taken up. Wouldn't you think, like, most years when you're like, hey, we're going to interview this offensive coordinator, you look at his track record, and it's like, his offense has been second, fourth, and first. And you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Am I wrong? Arthur Smith have some family connected to the NFL, too, that might be lend itself to something like that. I'll have to go back and revisit it. But I haven't really been a big fan of Arthur Smith. I thought it'd be really nice for him in Atlanta for a minute. He loves to run the football. Him with Tennessee, obviously, with Derrick Henry. I thought there would be some good things there. But I just don't love his offenses at all, man.
And by the way, there are reports going around that Mike Tomlin has been telling folks that he does not plan to coach next year. Take that for what you will.
Kevin, Arthur Smith began his NFL coaching career in 2007 when he became the defensive quality control coach for the then Washington Redskins.
Mm.
His father, FedEx founder Frederick Smith, was a minority owner of the team. Makes sense now, right?
Okay.
All right.
Still feel like my question would be, hey, how come you weren't good at coaching offense? And what makes you think that means you should get a promotion? Then if I was Arthur Smith, my retaliation question would be, why did you schedule this interview? That's probably not how it's going to go.
His dad gifted Arthur the job because Frederick felt like he was not there for his son enough growing up.
Hell yeah! I wish my dad would have done that. Wish he'd have been like, sorry I wasn't around. Here's $50,000 or a dope-ass job. Deal. But that didn't happen. And now he is dead. All right, let's talk about what he is. Let's talk about the Saints. You know what's really weird is right in that moment somebody like looked through the window. I don't know if it's they wanted to see the studio or it's because of the bold proclamation.
Yeah, and Aiden has it on full blast out there too, so that all those people can hear.
And Aiden's rocking a Moon Mammoth hat frequently. He knows what's
he
up.
Is.
All right, Sean Payton with what I think is actually super helpful advice to the fan base. He said his one request for the Broncos fans going into the game this weekend. For years, we were conditioned to raise the noise level when they break the huddle. The noise level needs to be loudest when they go in to the huddle, the opposing team, that is. And I think that's a great idea. Try to mess them up right at the beginning to not even get any potential play calls out there.
Dude, I think he's dead on.
He's smart.
You just, because A, have you ever seen the video of Matthew Stafford and he's in the huddle and Sean McVay's calling the play and he goes, okay, I got it. And he starts to say it. He goes, hold on, he's still going. All right, cool. No, he's still going. The play's that long. And it's like for those quarterbacks to get the play out, everybody's kind of waiting for their cue in there.
Right.
The offensive line's trying to get their protection. The receivers are getting their routes. So, yes, any little mishap in that can fry a quarterback. You know how working a show sometimes can fry you.
And that's Matthew Stafford
saying
that, man.
Exactly. So if you got a crowd that loud while you're trying to get information out before you even get to the play, yeah, dude, you're frying them all.
Now, is Fred Warner the toughest human in the NFL, possibly the toughest human walking the face of planet Earth? If you recall, on October 12th, he dislocated and fractured his right ankle, i.e. his foot was turned the other way. And he took another step to potentially being available for the NFC Championship game. They opened up his 21-day practice window, and that was one of the things that he mentioned, is potentially being available for that.
With that electrical substation right there, huh?
I mean, look, you brought that up. I have not done the research on that yet, but I am concerned. But can you imagine being like, hey, my foot got turned backwards. I'll see you in 3 months
Swelling's
for more
gone,
football.
Swelling's gone, I'm back.
That's crazy.
I think it's Super Bowl if they get there, all right? That's the where I personally think, I don't think that, I think this is more like of an inspiration thing than anything else. But I've watched videos of him. He looks great.
Yeah.
But I would be very surprised if he plays anytime before that.
By the way, since you just mentioned that, it is already working. CJ West, one of their defensive tackles, talked about him being listed as a limited participant yesterday. You could feel the energy. You could just feel when he's around. It was awesome. I'm excited for him.
Yeah, he's a different dude. Can you imagine if you put him in that Cowboys defense? Right there in the middle of that summer.
Yes. I am imagining that now.
Let's go find somebody like that.
All right, let's do it. All right, let's give you a couple more coaching updates. We said this would be the case, and the Eagles did, in fact, fire their offensive coordinator. I don't know if it was because of that little kid interview that you played, or like middle school kid or whatever.
In the C block today, there might be another reason that he was fired.
Well, he's out. And then per Tom Pelissero, the expectation is that Harbaugh will interview with the Giants, the Falcons, and the Titans by the end of the week. A couple of player updates for you. For the Bills, another player is down. Tyrell Shavers is out. And then we find out that he played with a torn ACL in the second half. So maybe I should put him up contention with Fred Warner as well for the toughest humans walking the face of planet Earth.
You can play with that with a torn ACL.
Yeah, but your leg is all wobbly.
It doesn't hurt anymore, just whether or not it like falls apart.
Yeah,
That's the question, yeah.
That feels like a pretty big deal.
He was wearing tight pants because it was cold.
Huh, he had those compression pants on to make it work.
They were keeping everything tight.
And for the Denver Broncos, their defense gets a boost as Dre Greenlaw is, in fact, on track to play against the Bills. Now, everybody is watching the NFL. We already knew that. We had an executive on from the NFL to discuss that, but the numbers continue to be staggering. 49ers-Eagles draws 41 million viewers. That is the most watched wildcard game since 2022. Can you take a wild guess as to who was in that old wildcard game?
Were the Cowboys in it?
That would, of course, be the Dallas Cowboys against the 49ers, and that was the year that their wild card game drew 10 million more viewers than any other wild card game. But you think about it. It's taken 3 years for them to get back to that level, even with the ratings boost of the deal that they cut with Nielsen to get more accurate indications of who's watching their game.
Yeah, seems like Nielsen needs to really get on it, huh?
I mean, they've been doing it. But you can't match the power of the Cowboys. It's just we don't make the playoffs a lot. Now, somebody said
only
this.
Only when the NFL needs a boost. They're like, all right, let's go reach in the Cowboys' drawer.
Yeah, we'll get the biggest boost of all time.
Well, you don't want to overuse it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we haven't been there in 2 years. Use it!
Yeah.
All right, let's go to streaming. NFL, like I said, they're doing well across the board. A new record for streaming NFL has taken place. Somebody said the other day, oh, if anybody actually saw the game on Prime Video. Look, if you don't want to pay for it, I get it. But that's the way the sports market has shifted.
Yeah.
And a lot of people watch that game. 31.6 million viewers. That is a 43% bump up over last year's Prime Video playoff game.
Wow. That's impressive.
It is. And it is now the most streamed NFL game of all time, with the previous record being the Lions-Vikings game on Netflix on Christmas Day at 27.5. This jumps up to 31.6. So just think about what we've already seen in the span of a couple of months. The highest streamed rating game of all time for the NFL. Now the highest wildcard game in 3 years. And then on Thanksgiving, you had the highest game in the history of the regular season, obliterating the previous record by, I think, like 15 million.
Man, NFL's doing all right then, huh?
Yeah.
Streaming's doing all right?
Seems
like that. I know Jerry is against it, but it seems like that push for a streamed Super Bowl is more likely.
And that's a hard sell against it when you're like, well, nobody watch it. 31 million people watch this wild card game streaming.
Yeah. And so, guess what? If we can get the NFL to agree, we could get 150 million. And you know what? We can maybe even get more than that.
Yeah, what would that cost?
And then on top of that, the revenue for Amazon or Netflix or whatever. Jeez, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I didn't realize what time it was. Coming up next, will you make the Rangers a priority watch this year, or do they have to earn it from you? We'll do it next right here in The Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.